Have a listen to David here, who's coming in the defence of Bumper this morning. Morning to you, David.
Good morning, Stephen. Well, I'm a member of the public. I'm not a member of the trade union. I'm not a civil servant. But I 100% support the strike on Friday because it's near time that someone took on this miserable government at Westminster and, of course, his colleagues in Stormont. Civil servants, hospital staff, and we can see what's even happening to Translink. They're trying to privatise Translink by the back door. And at the end of the day, the public needs to back this strike 100%, and I fully support it.
Erwin Armstrong?
It's not going to happen, 100%. It's not going to happen.
All right, Richard, thank you. Morning to you. Erwin?
It will happen.
Yeah. Hi, sorry. I've been listening to this with interest. And I think, I mean, there are various things. I mean, Bumper says he's trying not to inconvenience the public. One thing I don't actually understand, why is this strike actually on a Friday as opposed to a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, when people could actually have time the following day to catch up? This means that the strike's on the Friday, Saturday, you have Sunday. And if there's something wrong, if you're sick, if there's a problem, you have to wait until Monday. It would seem to me if you don't want to inconvenience the public, you hold a strike in the middle of the week or earlier in the week. But I mean, I just don't understand why it should be a Friday. I think the other thing that Bumper has to remember, this strike will achieve absolutely nothing. There is an election in about 6 weeks' time, and no one will be taking any decisions. Let's be honest, at the end of this month, they all are out of their jobs. They're all out in their constituencies campaigning.
And let's hope your friends in the Conservative Party don't get their jobs back in Westminster, and we get a government at Westminster that's prepared to invest in our public service and invest in jobs.
Well, Bumper, you know the Labour Party has already come out and said they will carry on with the austerity programme. It's not going to change. Your strike is absolutely pointless. It's inconveniencing people. So I just don't know what you gain.
Well, I thought you were prepared to support the strike if it had been on a Wednesday.
No, I'm asking why you don't have it on a Wednesday. If you have to have it, I have no support for it whatsoever.
Here's Ken Kelly, taxi driver. Morning to you, Ken.
Morning, Stephen. We need a bit of guidance here as well. The government should be stepping up and saying on Friday, let's cancel the bus lanes and on-street parking. People like me who would do government work with taxis, I'm getting penalised for not being able to work on Friday. An opportunity to go out and keep the city moving for those that want to go to work. Can we get some governance here, some guidance?
What do you mean?
Well, in London, if you have this side of thing, they cancel the bus lanes because there's no buses. You don't need bus lanes on Friday. Those that want to go and work, give them the opportunity for the extra traffic and give the places in Belfast parking free for the day. Okay. And that'll decide who supports and who doesn't support the strike.
Ken, thank you. Jim in Belfast. Morning to you, Jim.
Morning, Stephen. Good morning, Bumper.
Morning, Jim.
How many members do you have in Northern Ireland, NPSA members?
Well, in NPSA we have 45,000 and we didn't ballot all of them. And so 40,000 of our members are going to be called out and strike on Friday, Jim.
Right. What percentage voted to strike, Bumper?
We had six different ballots and we had different turnouts in each of those ballots. But the critical thing is that in those ballots, our members voted quite clearly for both industrial action in the form of strike action and then thereafter.
You've ducked
this
question,
action.
Haven't you? He's looking for numbers of percentage,
Stephen,
turnout.
I think you will find that we work under the most repressive trade union legislation in Western Europe. We have followed the law.
I asked the question, Bumper, and it was a simple question, a very simple question. I asked you how many members you had. You said you'd balloted 40,000. I'm asking you how many of those 40,000 actually voted to go on strike.
Well,
that was a simple question. Now,
it's not a simple answer, Jim, because as I said, we balleted them.
Let's then reply.
We balloted different groups of workers in different places. That's a requirement under the law. So we weren't able to go out and do a single ballot. We ran six ballots. In five of those ballots, we got overwhelming yes results for industrial action, both in form of strike action and also...
But you're still ducking this question. So of the 40,000 members you balloted, how many actually voted for the strike?
A considerable number, Stephen. I don't have the figures in front of me here today. But what I'm saying is that we work under the most repressive anti-trade union law in Europe. We complied with that law.
You must know how many people.
Hang on. That law requires us to get a majority of people voting for industrial action. That's what happened.
Well, Bumper,
could I ask Jim? How many of our MLAs, how many of our MPs got majorities when they were returned and are inflicting upon us the misery that they are?
Listen to tell you something. I'll tell you, Mammy.
Bumper.
Hold on, Erwin.
Can I go back there?
Hold on. Go ahead, Jim.
It's 18%. It's 18%. NPSA.
I don't know where you got that figure from.
Well, I see it here. I see it here. Okay? I have it here.
How do you have it there? What are you talking about, you have it there? Who are you?
What do you mean, who are you? I just went on Google and I was looking up NPSA. And out of the 40,000%, there was 18% of their members voted
certainly,
for a strike.
Certainly didn't get that off our website.
So that's untrue, is it?
That figure is quoted. Because, as I say, Stephen, we
ran six different ballots. You weren't able to tell me. Sure, you said you didn't know the number. I'm giving you a number now. How can you deny it?
Because we ran six different ballots covering six different areas of employment.
Sure, Bumper, it's simple. You must know the number.
We got a majority.
Are you embarrassed?
I am not embarrassed. In fact, we're very encouraged with our results.
Why don't you just tell me?
We got a majority vote in five of our six ballots.
What's the majority?
The majority varied from one ballot to another in the likes of the health service.
How do you know if you don't know the numbers?
Well, I've a rough idea, Stephen, from working in the
place. Give us a rough idea of the numbers then.
I don't have the papers in front of me, as you know.
Right, but you're telling me you got a majority, but you don't know the numbers.
In the health service, the vote was approximately 70% in favour of strike action. In the civil service, I think it was around about the 56% vote in favour of strike action. So what we have is a mandate from our members to take industrial action. We're starting this industrial action on Friday, along with unions elsewhere in the public sector, in the health service, in education, in Translink.
That would be the health service, where there were some 58 salaries being paid out of the health service budget towards trade union officials.
Well,
that would be the health service where the total amount paid to trade unions during 2013-14 was 1,840,540.
You tried this one on last week.
That
Stephen,
would be the same health service, wouldn't it?
And you failed to get that over. Their money isn't paid to the unions. That money is paid to people working
salaries
in the health service, doing
who
a job.
Who aren't then working in the health service, for the unions.
They're working for the health service.
Full-time reps.
They're doing different things. They're engaging in negotiations with health service employers. They're doing essential things like health and safety at work. They're doing union learning, which is helping to improve the quality of the health service workforce, the civil service workforce.
Why doesn't the union pay them? Because the union can very well, and I'm not necessarily speaking of yours, the unions in Unite, etc., get this money.
Well,
the workers are paid for it. They don't.
I could ask the same question.
Then they can turn around.
Why does your party have more special political advisers in Downing Street than has ever been the case?
I'm not here representing any party.
Erwin, where's your mandate? Where's the Conservative Party mandate? Your Tory mates. How many people have they had voted for in Northern Ireland? Elected representatives. How many have they got again?
None. And they're not my party, by the way.
You're a former chairman. You're certainly associated with them.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, no. I'm not saying. I'm just saying I'm not here representing the party.
So it suits you today not to be a Tory, but yesterday, yes?
No. I've stepped back from frontline politics.
I wouldn't have actually said being a Conservative Northern Ireland was frontline politics.
Deborah St. Palomino. Yeah. Morning, Deborah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I just wanted to say that I fully back Bumper and all the people that's coming out on Friday.
That's great news, Deborah. And I think you are an example of the public out there, because we will see on Friday that it's just not public servants, but it is the general public who are really interested in trying to sort out the crisis in our health service, the crisis in our schools,
and want
them to move forward.
What happens, Deborah?
You look at all of these people that's going to lose their jobs in schools,
voluntary
redundancies, aren't they? Hospitals.
So job losses, Stephen.
In attending the elderly. Now, I have a friend who goes to work in the morning at 6:30, drives to Belfast, parks the car, goes to work, and is not home till 4:30, 5:00 each day. And to me, that is somebody who definitely deserves a pay rise.
Tell me this, Deborah. What's going to happen to someone on Friday who needs to go for a doctor's appointment, and they usually get a bus?
I'm going to tell you, Stephen.
What's going to happen to someone who's going to...
I'm an old age pensioner. And these people that want to go to a hospital or go to an appointment, a lot of these people, as you know, have been waiting for maybe 6 months,
to a year for an appointment, and they can't get it because look at our government.
Okay, Barbara, Deborah, thank you. Barbara, what's going to happen to someone that needs to go and pick up their prescriptions on Friday and they usually get a bus to the doctors?
Well, as I said, Stephen, it's likely that public transport won't be available on Friday. But more worryingly
is that okay then?
We don't take this action,
kids can't get to school, people can't get to work.
To support our public services, then people in the future won't have buses or trains. They won't have a health service that is free at the point of use. We'll see further privatisation of our health service. We'll see a further decay in education where class sizes are getting bigger rather than smaller.
Here's Stephen in Antrim. Morning, Stephen.
Hi, good morning. I think our Bumper, in his time on the radio this morning, has done nothing but drive the public away from the idea of the unions. And I'll tell you why. He's illogical. If Bumper wanted to convince us that our health service and our education system were in some sort of difficulty, he would actually ask his members to work overtime without pay.
Well, Stephen, I have to say to you, are you living in a parallel universe? Because
I
listen to Stephen's show regularly, and nearly every time I listen to it, Stephen is reporting on some further crisis in our health service. So do you think our public services, our health service, everything is tickety-boo?
Listen, Bumper, if you wanted to fix the problem, as you claim to do on behalf of the low-paid workers, I'll give you a couple of ideas. Let's look at education. Why not get rid of the inspectorate, okay, the teaching inspectorate? Why not get rid of the General Teaching Council of Northern Ireland?
Well, the inspector performs a very important role in ensuring that our education meets certain quality standards and levels.
Right. So we're not going to touch any of the areas that essentially have done nothing about protecting the jobs of teachers in the classroom. We instead are going to protect the high earners.
Mervyn in Hollywood, we'll give you one last shout back to this union issue. Go ahead, Mervyn.
Good morning, Stephen. Good morning, Bumper.
Morning, Mervyn.
How you doing, mate? Look, Bumper, I absolutely and utterly back you to the hilt. I really do. I know what you're coming from. I know what you're saying. But it's just that I have this this feeling, Bumper, that strike action at this time will not be good.
Well,
I mean,
Mervyn,
I was a former shop steward.
20 seconds, Mervyn, quickly.
I was a former shop steward in Newby, and I would say to you, Bumper, not to do it.
Well, Mervyn, we have tried everything. Well, we've tried negotiations, we've tried to influence our politicians, and what we're saying is this action has to be taken to defend our public services.